The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Great to have you here. The phone lines are open at 855-242-7285. John Calipari will join us later in the show. The famed Kentucky basketball coach. Don't forget, Friday, live from the Grove, Lane Kiffin will join us in Oxford. Jim will join us now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
You had a caller. Boy, you got some callers, I can say that. I don't know what they came, where they came from, but did they come from, what's that place, Mayberry? Mayberry RFD.
Yeah, Mayberry, right right down the road.
Yeah, but they're not, they can't match the great Barney, the sheriff. I mean, the, you know, what's his name?
Barney Fife.
They can't match him. But it reminds me, Paul, of one of your callers early on in the show. You know, he had an irritating little kid in the background, and I can't believe people do that. That really annoys me. You remember the call I'm talking about?
Sure. The guy from Ole Miss and Tennessee would make it to the championship game.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. It reminded me of one of your great friends. You said he was your friend. The annoying old crotchety guy. You remember who had the yapping dog? He didn't like me at all. He never liked me. He always complained about me. You remember that old guy? Yeah, I know you remember him.
Now, Jim, I say this with love in my heart, but you're asking me to try to differentiate of all the people that don't like you who have called on this show?
No. I'm just trying to ask you to remember the guy that was a mean old guy. You know the guy that had the yapping dog.
I do remember that.
And y'all used to talk about, you talked about your dog, and he talked about his wiener dog, I think, or some kind of dog that yapped. And he always had it on the, had him yapping in the background. Not only was he an annoying caller, he had the most annoying callers because of the yapping dog, you know. Who was the guy? You remember him?
Yeah, I'm struggling to remember his name, but I know what you're talking about.
I wish you could remember the guy's name because he couldn't stand me. And it was vice versa, of course, but it just reminded me.
Jim, what percentage of callers, of people that call in the show, would you say don't like you?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm told most of them love to hear me. That's what I'm told. I'm told if they sit on the edge of their seat, it's like they used to do. I mean, really, I'm told that by a lot of these people that send me, Twitter messages or whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
I'm serious. I mean, I'm just telling you what they said. They say, please call. We all want to hear. Everybody is sitting on the edge of the seat and want to hear your call. I think I do have some compelling calls, Paul. Seemed like somebody mentioned that in a book one time, one day next Thursday or one day last Thursday.
Yeah, there was a book that came out a couple of years ago,
Can't even be given away now, can it?
No, it's been 6-7 years. Jim, books don't have much shelf life.
That one didn't
have much any life.
Yeah, but the only thing that people wanted to see was your comment about me.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's all. I mean, Jim, that book did become a New York Times bestseller primarily because I mentioned you in the book.
Well, page 54. You had to do was just tear out page 54 and use the rest for when you ran out of toilet tissue. Is that right?
Well, that was a big time book. So the paper may have been pretty expensive, unlike the cheaper made book.
Well, Paul, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I made a vow that I'm going to build this show back up like it used to be.
I wish you would, Jim, because where you?
I'm trying right now. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be another Paul Feinbaum enormous bestseller coming out within a couple of years. That's what I predict.
I hope so, because I'd hate for us to get canceled and knowing that had we gone to you more, we wouldn't have.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but I doubt you'll get canceled.
I think the guy just made the suggestion. I do remember this now. I think his name, Joe from Hoover. Remember him?
That's it. That's him.
That guy.
The Hoover.
I mean, Jim, saying he didn't like you would be an understatement, okay?
No, I know. I wish he'd call again. I'd love to hear his annoying voice and his yapping dog.
I knew that guy. I met him one day for lunch.
I know you did. I know you. He talked to you like you were his long brother. Yeah. His long-lost brother.
He was never shy about telling me his opinion about how to run the show.
I know. I remember that. And is he still with us?
I don't. Well, I mean, he wasn't young then.
I know that. And I doubt the yapping dog is still with us because he's somewhere probably.
There's no way that dog's still around.
And he might not have been died of natural death of causes either.
I don't know, but I do. But that guy used to call all the time.
He called all the time.
He was fiery.
I know, but he was interesting because he was so crazy. That's why he was interesting.
Well, that's
kind of like
you, right?
Kind of like, no, not like me, but like the monkey, you know, the monkey.
Now, Jim, I mean, if you had to list, let me ask you this question.
No, I'm not getting into that, Paul.
No,
you'll hurt my.
Which callers on this show put you on the edge of your seat?
What do you mean by that, edge of my seat?
Well, when you hear I say so-and-so's on next, you kind of move a little closer to hear. Yeah.
Want to hear him, yeah. Let me think a minute. Golly, that's not an easy question now because my interest has not peaked lately. That's a hard question. I might have to get back with you on that.
You don't have to answer me now. You can think about it, and I'll include it in the next book. How about that?
Yeah, well, I tell you, I might have to do what that judge told me when he sent me a $80 ticket after I told him I was not guilty. He said, I won't take that under advisement. I'll get for you tomorrow. And the next day I got in the mail, you're found guilty.
Okay, well, Jim, we're heading to the break or whatever, but you take that one under advisement. May is up next. Hello, May.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
May, we are doing great. How about you?
For 80 years old, I'm doing great, baby.
You sound great. Hey, I like the sound of your voice.
Well, thank you. They had one guy on there. I'm not going to say his name, what state he was from. You have kids listening to this show, and it kind of upset me what he said. He wished that the plane that LSU was coming into their stadium would crash and burn.
That was Ed who said that from Mississippi.
Yeah, sad. That's very sad. You know, with all the mess that's going on in Washington now, we don't need that. I thought this was a sport. I know you got some little quirky calls in there. I've been watching football with my dad since I was 12 years old. And I'm sure they make some bad calls. Majority of them are good calls. And let it at that. I mean, all these analysts that come on there predicting who's going to win what when, it looks like a lot of their predictions is down now, you know. I don't hate anybody on the show. I just don't like some of the stuff they say. You know what I mean?
I do, May, and I'm glad you called. Thank you so much. Jerry is up next.
Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry, is that you?
Yes.
Well, good.
Yeah, I want to talk about that Alabama game, Paul.
Okay, Jerry.
You think Alabama going to run away with them?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, me too.
What is your rationale behind that?
I mean, that all your callers is my favorite callers because you are the man and you make them be the favorite caller. But the reason why I call, I just want to say two things. You there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing today?
Jerry, I'm doing well.
Hey. We're going to put some whipping on Tennessee because I remember when the third Saturday was about a month ago, I believe it was. I mean, I must be getting old, but we're going to bring Tennessee down there to Tuscaloosa and put a beat down on them.
Just like
– I got one more.
Yeah, go ahead, Jerry.
I got one more thing to say. That I got some inside information.
Okay, I want to hear this.
LSU offered Nick Saban $1 billion to come and coach a year. And if they don't get him, they're going to get Deion Sanders.
Wow.
Did I follow or you followed that too?
That would be pretty crazy. Jerry, you take care of yourself. We're up against the break. We still have plenty of guests that will start dropping by here. Brandon Marcello has already been here. He said Billy Napier ought to be the next LSU coach, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
The Austin American Statesman, Bob Bowlsby, considers Texas OU departure for the SEC a personal betrayal. A man that simply cannot get the foot out of his mouth. Bob Bowlsby just ran his mouth again today, saying they're thinking they're going to recruit better and they're going to get more money. Anybody that thinks Texas football's problems have been as a result of league affiliations are completely delusional. Thanks, Bob. There's nothing really more to say. I mean, Bob Bowlsby knows why Texas and Oklahoma left. He's in charge of the league. It has nothing to do with the affiliation. It has everything to do with their inability to, number one, get a new TV contract on the board early, and secondly, his inability to ever get a conference network off the ground. Bob knows that. He continues to embarrass himself every time he opens his mouth, but we still love him, Bob. We still love you, Bob. Good luck with your new four teams. How about Mark in Knoxville, Tennessee? Hello, Bob. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm the Mark. It's the Ole Miss alum from Knoxville. That the last part of that game was disgusting.
Last part of which game?
The Tennessee Ole Miss game.
Oh, okay.
Where they were throwing in all that trash.
Right. Okay.
I think you had a guy from Georgia call in about the Ole Miss LSU game.
Right.
From 1971. I remember that. And the clock did run out. So we were driving over to New Orleans. I lived on the Gulf Coast in Mississippi. And in I-10. And there was a sign, you know, it says you're leaving Mississippi, you're entering Louisiana, how states advertise. On the Ole Miss sign, on the sign for Mississippi, just as we drove by it, it had a metal sign on the bottom of the state sign that says you're leaving Mississippi, entering Louisiana, set your clocks back 1 second.
Oh, yeah, that's a very famous picture. Hey, thank you for sharing that. I forgot that when our caller brought that up. That's still something that gets a lot of laughs 50 years later. Big L is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Big L.
Oh, young man, how's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Listen, you caught me at the stove. I was cooking my poulet de fricassee.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds quite delicious.
You know what that is?
No.
Yeah, I bet your Mary knows what that is, or a beef. Or that's chicken smothered in a brown gravy with a bunch of onions and stuff, you know. It is good stuff.
I'm
gonna get ready to give me a break.
So what else do you eat with that, Big L?
Oh, listen, I've got okra. I got some ball okra.
Okay.
And I got a corn makshu.
Corn makshu.
Yeah, that's corn in a red tomato sauce gravy, mostly pureed tomatoes, you know, in corn. With a little season, it's pretty good stuff.
I guess that's South Louisiana cooking.
Yeah, I bet you them two Chucky boys would make a pass in it for sure.
Oh yeah, no, that sounds great.
Look, I was preparing my Christmas wish list.
Yes.
And you had that comment that got Jenna on before, Marcelo.
Yeah, Brandon Marcelo.
I wonder if he was looking over my shoulder when I was writing down number 3. Because, go ahead.
Well, who's number 3?
Well, I had my 2 things. I wanted silence. I ain't going to get that. I wanted a Hershey bar. I'm going to get plenty of that. And my 3rd one was Napier, LSU head football coach.
Yeah, I thought that – I don't think you can rule out Billy Napier. I thought that was an interesting analysis there because Napier has always been mentioned as a possible candidate, but – you hear these other names, but I would keep your eye on him.
Yeah, well, he's the right age. You're looking for a young guy with plenty of energy, for sure, you know. That's the way I think about it, you know.
Well, I think he – you're right. I mean, I think he checks a few boxes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, you had that gentleman yesterday, Reggie B., calling right. you, and he did the that's a comedian. He does Frank calls. He said that was his daddy, you know.
Right. Yeah. By the way, I think there's somewhat of a misconception that Napier is from Louisiana. I mean, obviously he lives in Lafayette right now, but he grew up in Tennessee. I think he went to Clemson, Furman, and then coached at Clemson. He coached for Saban. But you know, the fact that he is in Lafayette and understands South Louisiana is one reason why, and he's unbelievably successful. I think that's the biggest reason why he's under consideration. Absin is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Demas Paul. How you doing today, sir?
We're doing well.
Who do you think will be the best fit for LSU, the coaching job for next year?
You know, I would agree with our last caller. I think Napier ought to be considered. I'm not sure, you know, just because you have success at Lafayette means you're going to work at LSU, although I don't think it's that big of a move for him, though. I think he knows how to run a program, and he's done quite well.
You think?
What about you? Well, who do you think?
What about Franklin, that coach at Penn State? He can't hear. When the Vanderbilt built and had success. And also Joe Brayton, he was there when they won the national championship. So
yeah, I don't think Franklin would be – I mean, I think Franklin might talk to them, but I firmly believe he's going elsewhere. I'm not convinced Joe Brady is ready for this job. He's only been a coordinator in the NFL for 2 years and has had mixed results. And, you know, was it Joe Brady or was it Joe Burrow who made LSU so successful?
I believe Joe Brady, you know.
Okay, well.
He was calling the plays up top, so he was seeing everything on the field, so he should have some great success.
Okay, well, listen, I don't think he's going to get the job. I think they're going to hire somebody with more experience than that. Adrian is up next in Tennessee. Go right ahead, Adrian.
Hello, Paul. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thank you.
You think a Jim will ever make a phone call into your show where he ever talks football again? He can't call in without reminding us he was in your book and then to bring up his Twitter account. That's all he ever talks about anymore.
Well, he doesn't talk.
We know you're in his book, Jim. We've read it. We all read it, bud. You're there. We know.
He just wants to make sure somebody that may be new to the show hasn't read it.
Well, maybe he should be your publicist.
Where was Jim when the book came out? The book made the New York Times list, but with Jim, it could have been number one. Hey, thanks for the call. We're heading to a break. A lot of guests are going to start dropping by here in a few minutes, including Coach Cal, the new coach at Vanderbilt, will be with us as well. And we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. Guppy is up next. Hey, Bucky. Guppy, go right ahead.
Paul, I'm just calling to give you a heads up on your handling of that two somewhat irate calls yesterday that were complaining about hearsay being determinative of Orgeron's reason for his firing. Most everybody has the impression that if it's hearsay, it didn't happen. That's not true. All hearsay is not bad, for instance. No article would be in the paper by a reporter if it had to be witnessed by that particular reporter. He has to take the accounts. Now, I think you can be suspicious of hearsay and track the account and make sure, but it's not just bad all the time.
Yeah, let me address that. I spoke yesterday with Brody Miller because I wanted to clarify a couple of things with him, and we had a really good – he wrote that article, and I'll let him explain it. But after talking to him, I would say that the incident that we're talking about was not hearsay. It was he had it substantiated.
Well, I would think so, and I think, as you said yesterday, all good reporters are going to verify their sources, and if their sources are sketchy, they're going to throw out the information.
Yeah, I think where I misunderstood was, you know, he had written it. It was a controversial article, and I think he had just kind of moved past it. So when I asked him to explain what he had already said, I think he was reticent. But, you know, he never wavered from supporting what he had written. And I think I mischaracterized it in the aftermath in a phone call. But I have no doubt that not only did Brody have it substantiated, that the university was well aware of it. And it was part, this is just my opinion, but it was part of the conversation with Ed Orgeron about what would happen if he decided to challenge their separation.
Well, true, and there probably was hundreds of witnesses to many of these incidences that are referred to. I'm in the dark as to what they were exactly, but at any rate, I just wanted to tell you that I think you handled it quite well, and the criticism that you got from two people yesterday about that was unwarranted.
Well, I think I was my own worst enemy because I did not handle parts of the conversation with Brody very well. Thank you for the call, by the way. He did an extraordinary job in putting a difficult story together. And I think later I think we've cleared the air on that. And I'm glad I'm glad we did. Thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with John, who is in Texas. Hello, John.
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for calling.
Okay, I need to announce, first of all, that I retired from my job of 36-plus years last week.
Wow.
And Lord have mercy on me. That means I can watch you every day.
Well, yeah, first of all, I'm congratulations. That's quite a career.
Yeah, it was fun. It was at Bell Helicopter. Enjoyed doing everything. I was an engineer there. It was a lot of fun. But what I really wanted to call about was yesterday, you had a couple of female callers late in the day, and I thought they were both awesome calls. It was Linda in Fort Worth talking about Dale Earnhardt, and then there was Susan in Alabama that literally made me cry listening to that story about her son.
Oh, yeah.
Dying of cancer.
That was so poignant.
But, I mean, here's the thing. With all due respect to all of your usual Imans and Jims and all these people, and I love listening to them, but some of your female callers are the best. And I just think of Tammy, right?
Well, no, it's and by the way, I appreciate you saying you sound like a relatively young guy. What are you going to do with your
I'm 60 years old. I just have a young voice. Okay. Well, right now, okay, I've already spent on Monday. I went to Windstar in Oklahoma and lost a few hundred bucks. So that's probably not a good start to my retirement.
Well, I'm guessing with your background and the company you work for, you're probably going to be okay, but losing a few bucks.
I've got a pretty good 401k, so I'm okay. I'm full disclosure, I'm a Buckeye fan, and if I was betting this year on the Final Four, I think it's going to be Alabama and Georgia for sure, because I think Alabama is going to beat Georgia in the SEC championship. I wouldn't bet against them, let's put it that way. I think Ohio State, if they run the table, is going to get in, and I don't know who the number four team is. It depends on what Oklahoma ends up doing, and Oklahoma State, I guess. I don't know. But can Cincinnati sneak in? I don't know. Strength of schedule and all that
John,
stuff.
John, I will tell you, in the scenario that you've laid out, if Ohio State wins out and Alabama beats Georgia and both are one-loss teams and Oklahoma runs the table, Cincinnati is not getting in. I don't care what all their acolytes say. They're
so
not
it's
in.
The same, it's the same
and,
usual
and by the
suspects,
way, they wouldn't
right?
deserve to be in either.
Yeah, right. Well, and I'm not, believe me, Ohio State is a lot like the Dallas Cowboys, who I'm a fan of here, obviously, in Arlington, Texas. But they got a great offense, but their defense is a little suspect. And so I'm wondering how they're going to handle, the Penn States, the Michigans. Well, I think we can handle Michigan. But the Michigan States and all that. I just wanted to beat Indiana this week.
Well, I'm asking for a personal favor here, John. Do not let Ohio State lose to Michigan, please.
Well, they're not. They're going to keep beating Harbaugh, okay? No, that's good. I don't want to take too much of your time. I appreciate letting me call
well,
in.
Listen,
and talk to you, okay?
First of all, congratulations on your career, and I hope you enjoy retirement. And let me hear from you again. Thanks so much. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, you looking good, sounding good. I got to ask you a question.
Sure.
The Clemson Tigers are no longer a favorite against Pittsburgh. This is the first time.
Well, I didn't realize
they've
that.
Not been a favorite in years. How do you feel about this game?
I must say I haven't given it much thought because I didn't realize. I mean, I watched some of Clemson's game Friday night, and it was so awkward and so difficult to watch that I have expunge them from my memory bank because they're just not really an important team or a relevant team any longer. But I don't handicap games well, but the idea that Clemson would be an underdog would make me nervous on the Pittsburgh side. I'm assuming the game's in Pittsburgh.
Correct. You are correct.
Wow.
Here's another thing I found a little strange here lately. I went to the store because we have the state fair, which has been in Columbia since the last ball game last weekend. You cannot find a corn dog inside the grocery stores here in South Carolina.
Now, no corn dogs?
I'm thinking, I don't know why that is, but I'm thinking the people at the fair are coming out and buying grocery store corn dogs because the economy has gotten that bad.
Oh my goodness! Hey, Kate, I hate to run corn dog shortage. Probably not in some parts of our viewing audience. Let's take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
As we continue the SEC's build-up to basketball, an exciting time of the year as we get ready for everyone to start. And we talked to Coach Shea Ralph now, the coach at Vanderbilt, just starting out there. Coach, first of all, congratulations. I know it's you've had an illustrious career as a player and as an assistant, but this has to be pretty exciting for you.
It's incredibly exciting. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here at Vanderbilt with my husband, who's my associate head coach, and all of our staff that we've either coached or worked with before. It truly is a family environment. I'm grateful to be working with Dr. Candace Story Lee, our athletic director, who's amazing and a former player of ours. So I've been waiting a long time for an opportunity this wonderful to come along. So every day I'm treasuring, and it's been wonderful so far.
I know you want to turn the page to your head coaching career, but I'm sure in basketball circles it's hard to get away from, not that you would want to, where you played college ball as a great star and obviously where you were an assistant under arguably the greatest coach ever, being part of so many national championships. And, you know, I think it's too simple to ask, what was that experience like? But I think the audience would be very curious about your UConn days.
Well, I mean, I did spend half of my life basically at UConn, so there's a lot that I could go into. I don't think your show lasts that long. But my experience was just they taught me how to be successful. They taught me how to sacrifice, be a great teammate, what it means to build and be part of an incredible culture, both on and off the basketball court. And they taught me how to be ready for life. And really, it taught me in terms of coaching, like, this is what I want to do. Number one, after I played, I wanted to have an impact on young women's lives the way that my life was impacted at UConn. That drove me into the coaching profession, and I try to every single day do that. Obviously, coaching basketball is why we're here. That's what we do here. But it's bigger than that for us, and it's bigger than that for me. I want it to be a life-changing experience for our players. I want to prepare them for life as they move on into the real world. We all know that can be unforgiving. And so it's our job to make sure that they're ready as ready as they can be, I guess is the way to say that, and that they enjoy the journey along the way. So hopefully we'll be winning a lot of basketball games here soon. But building our culture and championship tradition here is going to take some time and consistency. Luckily, I was part of a place that did that pretty well. So I'm excited to do it here.
And Coach, I mean, you're dealing with young players, and a lot of coaches have had very good careers, but your career in high school was unique, considering where you grew up and one of the hotbeds of college basketball, high school basketball and college basketball, and you were, you know, only considered the best player in the country the year you came out. So how does that help you as you're out there hopefully recruiting similar type young women to Vanderbilt?
It helps me in terms of having the experience of being recruited, but it's so different now than it was when I came out of high school. It's so different now than 10 years ago. Social media and the instant gratification that comes along with that is a different kind of beast. And so hopefully I've evolved, but the bottom line is I did have that experience. You know, I did come out and was very highly recruited for whatever that means during that time. And am able to relate to the players that we recruit. I also think that my mentality is along the lines with the players that I recruit here. Also is along the line with the players that I recruited at Connecticut when I was there as an assistant coach. So, and that is just wanting to be great, right, at whatever you do. So it's not just about playing basketball. It's about going to school and getting great education. It's about wanting to be a great family member, a great member of society, a great friend, a great confidant. And all these things that, I think we can help teach them is something that I felt like I was growing up, that I learned at Connecticut. But I can relate to them as an elite basketball player, too, and that's super helpful.
I want to close talking a little bit about you growing up, not so much what you did, but growing up, not in the shadow, but knowing that your mom was renowned, and I'm sure we always hear about these father-son rivalries. What was it like having your mom as not only a role model, but your mom and somebody who was, you know, just so well thought of and revered in that state?
It was awesome. You know, having her be the first All-American at North Carolina did put a little bit of pressure on me, but it was more about, you know, just a little. But, you know, our family, we operate well under pressure. That's where we thrive. So it was great in that she was able to share her experiences with me. I was able to go kind of all over the state. She took me to a bunch of basketball camps back then. That was how recruiting was. You would go to the camps that the universities would run. But I think it got a little bit, I guess, strange or weird when I started getting recruited. And she told me, like, I could go anywhere but NC State and she would be happy. but I really liked KU. So that was hard. But when I talked to Coach Ariema at Connecticut, I think everyone knew that I wasn't going to be staying in North Carolina. And it was the best decision I ever made.
Well, congratulations again. All the best. We look forward to seeing you very soon. And good luck this season.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed being here with you today, and we look forward to playing this season.
We can't wait. It was our pleasure. Coach Shea Ralph joining us from Vanderbilt University as we continue the buildup to basketball. And we appreciate that. Let's go to Peyton next in Orlando. Hello, Peyton. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I'm a 1975 graduate at the University of Georgia. My name is Peyton, like Peyton Manning from Tennessee, but right. I was Peyton before Peyton was cool. I transplanted to Florida in 1978, but I think I have a way to stop what happened at Tennessee that everybody's talking about.
Sure. What is it?
I don't know if they can do it. You tell me if they can. Take away a home game, and the next time it happens, take away two home games.
Yeah, I think just finding a school and saying everything that was said is really not going to serve as much of a deterrent, because schools get fined all the time. If Tennessee had won that game, there's just a good of a chance that the fans would have come out onto the field and they would have been fined anyway.
Well, I don't think the fines serve as a deterrent.
No,
I mean, everybody,
I agree.
Every fine we've seen this season, people say, well, they're happy to do it because they won.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not – I mean, if the two of us were season ticket holders at Tennessee, it's not our money. It's their money. And, you know, it's a really great conversation, and I know that the authorities and the administrators have all said the right things, and that's important, by the way. I think if you measure what the athletic director said, but what the chancellor said versus what the head football coach said, it's pretty different. The football coach is playing to his base, those fans who showed up at the game. The chancellor is speaking to a much broader audience, but a $250,000 fine is not going to solve very much. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. And Ralph is in Mississippi. You're on the air. Hey, Ralph.
It's Roy.
Roy, go right ahead.
Yeah. I want to defend the official. I'm an official for 30 years, retired.
Okay.
And I've been in every situation you can think of. And I think people doesn't realize what these guys go through to reach the level they are at.
And okay, Roy, let me stop you right there, because I've said the same thing. Why can't they get it right?
Well, you know, sometimes you snap your fingers is how long he's got to make that call. And you don't get to look at it from about 10 different angles.
Yes, but you know, Roy, somebody but somebody does get to look at it. Not every play, but a lot of plays.
Well, he's rated on every official is rated on every game he calls. He may get a call from the home office saying, "Hey, you missed this call, you missed that call." But then he may not be in the next game that he needs to be in because he did not grade out in that game. So that's just...
Well, you're right. I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm glad you explained that because I think it makes a lot... It's a lot more palatable coming from someone like you who has done it versus somebody like me who has never officiated a single game.
Well, I've had the privilege to officiate football and basketball, both on the college level, and I know what the guys go through. They work out year-round, they hit the books, and they take pride in what they do.
Roy, thanks for sharing that story. We appreciate it. We are back with two more hours.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.